What Am I Chewing is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For more podcasts about movies and nostalgia, visit cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me. Welcome to What Am I Chewing, the podcast where we chew things and guess what they are. I'm Jordan Poland Clark. With me is my co-host, Carrie Gail O'Regan.
Hello.
And we're going to chew some things. Kara, I think it's your turn to go first.
Okay. Full disclosure, this may or may not be something that I have chewed on the show before. I cannot remember, and it's the only thing that I had. Okay. So, also, I just woke up.
Yeah, you told me this was your breakfast. Is it for real a breakfast food, or like just start eating this for breakfast? No. What?
I said yeah.
Oh, okay. I couldn't hear through your chews.
Oh.
Okay, is it oatmeal?
No.
Is it... It's not eggs.
No.
Is it yogurt?
No. Have you ever eaten yogurt that sounds like this?
I don't know. Keep making noise. Let me hear it. Okay, it sounds a little crunchy now.
Mm-hmm.
Is it cereal?
No.
Is it a bar?
No.
No?
No.
Is it bread? Is it bread-based? Carbohydrate-based?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a waffle?
Yes.
Is it a Stroop waffle?
No.
Is it just a waffle, or do I have to keep going?
I mean, yeah, it's a frozen waffle. It's a power waffle.
Whoa, does that mean it's filled with protein?
Yeah, I mean, they just put more wheat gluten in it. That's what the protein is.
Because it has the word power, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's part, well, this is a Vans brand. I like mm-hmm. them. They're very good. Mm-hmm. But then there's also another brand, and I can only say this in a cartoon manly man voice, but they're called Kodiak Cakes.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those. Mm-hmm.
I forget what their version of Power Waffles is, but it's, like, definitely, like, for men. Branded for men, you know? Don't feel like a sissy eating waffles.
Isn't that funny how, like, I feel like the whole, like, branding for men thing is relatively new? Mm-hmm. Like, definitely they used to do, like, soap and razors and stuff, but, like, the food branding for men,
mm-hmm.
that's new.
Yeah, like, there's a... Oh, my God. Some of the things in the grocery store are just crazy. Hang on. I'm still looking for the name of these waffles because they make me laugh. Power waffles.
Oh, my God.
That's what these are called. And there's a bear on it.
What kind of bear?
I am assuming a grizzly bear.
I guess I'll Google it.
Yeah, that's a grizzly bear. Wait, I feel like there's a specific kind of bear called a Kodiak bear, but I'm not 100% sure about that.
Oh, yeah, I see the bear. He's mean looking.
He's a very mean. He's a mean
bear. It's just
bear.
His face, but he looks like he's yelling at me.
he is, because he's saying, Power Waffles.
The Vans brand is less male-oriented.
No, I think it's pretty neutral.
It's like...
Mm-hmm.
But it does have the word power on it.
There's some man yogurt that I've seen, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Powerful yogurt.
I've eaten the man yogurt, I feel like. Maybe not that. I've eaten yogurt that could be man yogurt, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a black label Oikos, maybe.
That's what I've eaten. But there's ones that I feel like go even farther than that.
No, there's powerful yogurt. It is branded literally the first yogurt for men, full of protein to help men get in shape. And I'm pretty sure it's the same amount of protein as in any other Greek yogurt, because that's all it is. It's just Greek yogurt. But anyway...
I just googled man foods. So I was looking for other ones. That's not the right Google search, though.
Man foods? What came up?
The first one is dad-approved foods from Southern Living. The second one is a Pinterest board called 154 Best Manly Man Food for Men. That's a lot of...
Okay, I just searched food branded for men.
That's probably a better search, huh?
I don't know. The first thing that came up is just Unilever brands.
This is stupid. I'm on. I've made my way early on in the podcast to a Huffington Post list. I guess we usually end up on BuzzFeed lists, although it's all the same now, right?
Yeah. It's always been the same.
Okay, I'm going to chew my food.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you just arrived fresh from Seattle.
I did.
I'm assuming it's something that you brought back with you.
It is not.
What?
Because, so... I was telling Kara before we started recording, I just got back from Seattle, and my friends and I went to a gigantic, amazing, beautiful Asian grocery store and packed a large bag filled with mostly candy to bring back. But there's two reasons why that's not what I'm eating right now. One, I think it would be too hard for you to guess. But two is that we made a deal with ourselves that we would wait at least a week to open most of it so that we could save some of the magic and revisit some of the magic, not right Aww. When we got back, but a little bit after we got back.
Oh, that's so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have an entire suitcase.
yeah. I mean, I took out, like, I had some green tea that I opened and some coffee that I opened, but all the candy is still untouched.
Gotcha. Did you get any, like, delicious red bean snacks?
No, we had some when we were there, though.
They're my favorite. Okay, so what you're eating is crunchy.
Yeah.
Is it carbohydrate-based?
Yeah.
Though aren't all foods, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I know... Okay, so grain-based.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it a cracker?
No.
Is it something puffed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does it sound puffed? Can you tell?
Yeah. it's that certain kind of crunch that has a lot of air in it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it a rice cake?
No.
Is it puffed rice at all?
Yeah, I believe that there is rice in this.
Okay, so it's an assorted puffed grain thing. Is it loose?
Yeah.
Or is it, like, together? Okay.
No, if I'm understanding the question, yes.
So is it cereal, I guess, is the question.
No, it's not cereal.
But is it loose like cereal?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Is it granola?
No.
Is it... I have no idea.
It's snackier than that.
Snackier? Is it like cheese noodles?
Okay, almost.
Cheetos.
More like the grown-up version of that.
Pirate's booty.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, pirate's booty is so delicious.
No, it's really good. I haven't had it in a long time.
Relevant when you were...
What?
Oh. No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, relevant to our interests, I watched Sofia Coppola's short yesterday called Eat the Star.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
Or something like that. Lick the Star?
That sounds right.
Because I have a trial of the Criterion channel, and it was on there, and I was like, yeah, sure, I'll waste 14 minutes right now. It was fine. It was about a group of 7th grade girls, and one of them is, like, the mean girl, and she does something that gets her, that makes everyone mad at her, and then she tries to kill herself.
Ugh.
But it doesn't feel, it feels not like, I think there's a lot there, but it doesn't feel that emotional when you're watching it, like, at all.
Yeah. Interesting. How was Clueless? You went to see Clueless,
oh,
right?
Boy. So on my first night in Seattle, my friends who were supposed to arrive with me, their flight was canceled. So I ended up in Seattle by myself for like 24 hours. And so I took myself on a date to see Clueless on a big screen at some hipster bar movie theater there. It was great. I hadn't seen it on a big screen, like, maybe since it first came out.
Yeah. How is it seeing it with an audience?
It was fun. There was, like, I couldn't decide if I was, like, annoyed or not by people, like, saying the lines. But it didn't happen so excessively that I was annoyed by it. Like, it was fine. But there were some times where I was like, I don't know, you can leave it to them. It's fine. It made me... Well, first of all, I heard at least one line that I never heard before.
Oh, the Twin Peaks reference?
The Twin Peaks reference. Like, how did I never hear her say that?
I'm having a Twin Peaks experience.
How did I never hear her say that? And also, what does she mean?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I feel like that's, like, maybe, like, a Cherism, like, how she uses, like, all kinds of words and phrases, like, a little bit not correctly.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I could believe that that's what she was doing.
Yeah, I don't know. Or just that, like, she's having a, like, bizarre kind of uncomfortable experience.
Because it was, like, when Elton was, like, harassing her.
Yeah.
And I was like, does it have something to do with that? But, like, that doesn't. Really, I mean, sure, that happens in Twin Peaks, but not, like, so similarly. I don't know.
Who knows? I noticed it for the first time when I was watching it recently with captions, and I was like, oh. I never, like, made out what she said in that moment.
No.
I thought she was making noises. yeah. I got to see Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey at the Alamo Drafthouse in Yonkers the other night. That was fun. That's one of my favorite movies. It was weird to see it with
Bogus
an audience.
Bogus Journey. Is that the second one?
That's the second one. Which I used to think was better than the first one, but actually, after this watch, I'm not so sure, because the first one is just so pure and, like, sweet and wonderful, and the second one is a lot darker, which, like, obviously that's why I like it, but... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I felt differently after seeing it this time.
Why didn't you like it with the audience?
Because they were mostly bros, I think.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, I had this, like, oh, right, like, moment when I was like, oh, yeah, this is kind of a dude movie, huh? So, I don't know. It just was weird to hear people, like, laugh at things, and then, like, I would laugh at things and other people wouldn't laugh, and just a odd experience. Also, it was, like, one of those special events, so they just kept bringing us beer, and I don't drink, and I was like, oh, you don't have to bring me any, and then they just kept bringing it anyway. There were, like, four beers that they brought that were, like, part of, like, a tasting thing, and I completely forgot that that was gonna happen. Because when I was reading the event information, I was like, oh, I don't care about that. So I just didn't read that part. But whatever. It was fine.
I saw a pair of Bill and Ted socks in Seattle that I was like, ooh, I should buy that for Kara. I didn't. Aww. But I did save it. I was like, I'll do an internet search and save it so that one day I can buy that for Kara.
Oh, that's so thoughtful.
I think that's all the media that I've experienced since we talked last.
Oh, I watched a bunch more movies and the entire fourth season of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which, like, was so good. I know that you don't like Rachel Bloom, but that show is just incredible.
I know I'm wrong.
Well, I gave you that one episode to watch. I think it was season 4, episode 14, I want to say. Mm-hmm. Because in that episode, she is auditioning for a community theater play. So all of the music in the episode is like organic to the storyline because they're doing this play. But she is like having this wistful thinking moment where she's like, wait, are all of these songs that I loved as a kid bad? So I thought it was like relevant to our interests. It was very good. And also, it's been cool to like watch that show over time because they just keep getting better and better at what they're doing. And the dance is just so good. I follow their choreographer on Instagram. She's great. And it's very good. And then at the end of the season, since that was the last season, they did like a live concert special, which was also very nice.
Yeah, I'll get to it one day. I don't not believe you.
I also watched oh, I forgot to tell you. I finally watched Mad Max Fury Road. Wait, I did tell you that.
You
Did I
did
tell you
tell
that?
me. You did
I
tell
did.
me.
It was interesting.
You're not like blown away, though.
Well, it was beautiful. Like that is for sure. Although I did not love like the like hyper saturated color. There's just something about it that I like didn't like, and I don't know what it is because I love color. So I should see the black and chrome version for sure. I had a hard time with some of the action sequences. I mean, they're probably some of the best action sequences like in film history, especially that like sandstorm scene.
Holy shit, yeah.
But I like couldn't actually look at it because there was so much like flashing light and like whatever. So that was frustrating. But that's not unique to this particular movie. It's a problem that I can't really watch action movies in general, because of the like it just sets off migraines. But yeah, I don't know. It was I wasn't as moved by it as I expected to be.
I mean, you did have like a bunch of people telling you for so long that it was like the best thing ever. So
Yeah,
it
I
would be
mean
hard for it to live up to that, probably.
Yeah, that's for sure. Although I try not to like get too hyped, because I don't, it's just like my personality to like not expect anything. But I'm glad that I had recently seen all previous three Mad Max movies
Yeah,
because
I
I
bet that
think
makes it a better experience too.
I mean, it makes it really interesting because I went back and I listened to your episode of Watch the Throne that you guys did about Fury Road, and you mentioned that you didn't like the flashes of that little child, like the flashbacks that he was having. But if you, but like, I actually did like that. I didn't like how it was executed. I thought it looked shitty, but like the way that it was like cut in there, because like the Mad Max movies, I have this theory that George Miller is just making the same movie over and over again, but better every time. Because they're kind of the same plot, although they have like some different elements and stuff like that in it. But like there are these like repeated images and repeated themes and stuff like that that like weave them all together that I think makes it really interesting. So to watch them kind of in sequence in a relatively short time was good because like you understand the language of it a lot more and understand the flashbacks of that kid and stuff like that. So yeah, I want to like it so much more than I did. It's not that I didn't like it. I just didn't connect to it in the way that I expected to.
Just like watch it again at some point.
Yeah.
Leave your mind
no,
open.
No, I definitely am.
Watch it again.
Yeah. I might have a completely different experience. I might have just been in a weird mood that day. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I lied to you and remembered that I also watched Terminator 2.
Oh, yeah. How was that?
I had seen it before and didn't remember that I had seen it before. But it was so great. Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so glad you liked it. I wasn't sure if you would.
No, I loved it. Like, yeah, I like action movies that I also cry at.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, legitimate feelings during this movie.
I think that is one of the best action movies ever made, or one of the best movies ever made. Like, not even having to, like, you know, like, preface it with the genre, I think it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh man, I just love it so much.
And then I
love
really,
Sarah Connor so much.
Linda
Hamilton. Why is Linda Hamilton not like a like Meryl Streep level star? She should be.
What did she even do after?
Oh, she's done plenty of stuff.
Do?
But like,
really?
Yeah, I think she's on a lot of TV. Also. Okay. I just think that she's like so incredible, and I cannot wait to see the new Terminator movie that's coming out this year because she's
well,
in
like,
it.
I got so excited now to watch every other Terminator movie.
Yeah. Well, okay. So the one that's coming out this year, they're like, okay, we're picking up where Terminator 2 left off. Like, all the stuff that happened after that didn't actually happen because it was bad. So really all you have to do is watch the first and second one. Because there are a couple more movies that were not great. But Mackenzie Davis is going to be in the new one, too.
I don't know who that
she
is.
She played Tully in...
I do know who that is.
Tully, yeah. She's great. I'm very looking forward to this. Because, and this is something that I really like about the Mad Max franchise, too, is, like, being able to, like, follow this character over a long period of time and, like, this... I don't know. Like, the more that I'm, like, paying attention to this, the more I'm like, oh, every movie is about trauma. But I think it's, like, especially true of, like, those two franchises and, like, the way that they deal with it and kind of, like, show it compounding over time
mm-hmm.
is really interesting. And I kind of just want to see... an entire remake of the entire Mad Max franchise, but with a woman.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. But I'm very excited that you like the Terminator, too. I didn't see the first Terminator movie until I was, like, 22 or 23, because I thought that Terminator 2 was just the first Terminator movie. Like, was the only Terminator movie,
I guess? The first one really just sets up the second one.
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah,
not
but the first one
good.
Is also, like, an incredible film in its
mm-hmm.
own right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I just watched it recently, I realized that the opening scene where Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, time travels to the present, he, like, runs into these gutter punks, and it's one of them is Bill Paxton, who was in Near Dark, was one of the vampires in Near Dark at the same time, which was a Catherine Bigelow film. Wait, not Catherine Bigelow. Was that Catherine Bigelow? Can't keep him straight. But she was married to what's-his-face at the time who made the Terminator.
James Cameron.
Yeah, that guy. So that was funny. I was like, oh, look who it is. And that's why in the first movie, the Terminator is dressed as a punk. And then in the second movie, Arnold Schwarzenegger is dressed as a biker because he kills a bunch of people at a biker bar. Which is also very similar to Near Dark. So.
Here's my wistful thinking tie-in.
Mm-hmm.
In Terminator 2, the friend of John Connor.
Oh my
was
goodness.
Budnick on Salute Your
yes.
Shorts.
When I watched it recently and I like logged it on Letterboxd, I was like, every time I watch this movie, I forget how much time John Connor spends riding around on his like sweet moped with Budnick.
Or Budnick. It really made me want to watch Salute Your Shorts.
Yeah. It's not great.
I'm sure it's not. You've watched it?
Yeah, I've gone back to it, like, the first couple episodes a few times, and I'm just like, oh, this is just not good. but yeah. On our last episode of What Am I Chewing, we talked in depth about Jell-O molds, and, I just the other night watched this movie that came out last year called Braid, which was shot, like, almost entirely in Yonkers, which was very distracting, because I was like, I know where that is, and that, and that. I also had the same problem with Black Klansman, which I watched yesterday, shot entirely in Ossining, but they're like, this is Colorado. Didn't buy it. Anyway, okay, so Braid is this weird movie with these three girls in a mansion. I can't explain it, because it's just bizarre. But, there's this one really deranged scene with, like, a dinner table, like a long dining table, and it's dressed entirely in Jell-O molds.
Oh.
And I was like, what crazy person decided this was a good idea? And also, can I be their friend and or work for them?
Yeah, man, somebody made that.
Yeah. That was somebody's decision who was like, oh, you know what would be really fucked up? If we had a table covered entirely in Jell-O molds. So, that was exciting. You should see that, though. It's interesting. It's it was directed by a woman. And then I found out that she, written and directed by a woman named Mitzi Peroni. I don't know. I found out she is Italian, and I was like, oh, this all makes a lot more sense, and I'm not entirely sure why. But this is interesting. I have to see it again, because I'm not sure exactly what I think about it.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to add?
No, I think that's it.
All right. Thanks for chewing with us. We'll be back next week with who knows what. It'll be a surprise. Talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.